All right, if you take your Bibles tonight and turn them to Ephesians chapter 6, we're going to pick up in verse 6. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 6 says, "Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart." Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are very thankful for another day, a gift from you. I pray, Father, as we look into your word and turn back to this book of Ephesians again, I pray, Father, that you would work in our hearts and in our lives, that we would understand that everything we do should be as unto you. And so I pray, Father, as we continue this journey, I pray, Father, that you'd speak to each one personally. I pray that we'd be drawn closer to you, our faith would increase, and that you'd be lifted up and glorified. We thank you for all that you've accomplished already today and looking forward to what you have planned for the rest of it. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So in verses 6 and 7, we'll look at God's credits and rewards. They will be appropriate to the attitude and action of our work. Part of that, notice I said attitude and action of our work. We can do the right thing with the wrong attitude and not get rewarded for it. It's very easy to do. A lot of people don't do it with the right attitude. I've said for a long time, we should do what we do because we love the Lord and we appreciate everything He's done for us and we want to show Him that we love Him. Talk's cheap. We can very easily say, I love the Lord, but when it comes right down to it, do our actions prove that we truly love Him? And then no good thing done for His glory will go unrewarded. Years ago, our kids were in a class and they were told that you need to do what you do so that you can get as many rewards as you want, as you would like to have. And I said to our daughters when they came home and said that, I said, no, you don't do what you do because of the rewards. You do what you do because you love the Savior. The rewards are kind of what we call the icing on the cake, right? We get them because of what we do, but it shouldn't be our focus that we do what we do because we want those rewards. And by the way, let me mention this, those crowns, those rewards that we will one day get, we're going to cast them at His feet. I had one guy tell me one time, he says, I can't wait to get all these crowns that are talked about in the Bible because I'm going to wear each one of them. I said, no, that's not what the Bible says. We're going to cast them at His feet. This is about Him. It's not about us. He says here, with eye service, working well only when being watched by the boss. I've worked with people like that. I imagine Brother Emerson probably knows since he's kind of in charge of the group. It's amazing how people change how they act at work when the boss is in the room. And then as soon as the boss leaves, it's like it's time to relax and goof off and all that other stuff. I never was taught that. I was fortunate. My dad was the first person I worked for, and he didn't own the company, but he was my boss. And he was strict. He was what I call the drill sergeant, and he used to drill in my head that if you don't do it right the first time, then I have to come behind you and do it. And if I have to come behind you and do it, I said, I know, I'm going to hear about it the rest of my life. And things would not be pleasant if he had to redo what my work was because I didn't do it right the first time. So I learned to do what was right and what was best from the very beginning, knowing that I had a drill sergeant father that expected more and tried to make me the example because all the other people that worked under him, he didn't want to go easy on his son and make it look like I was being treated differently. So I think he went with the pendulum the other way and made it more difficult on me. But I thank him for that because it gave me a good work ethic. Talking to Brother Fred, he said some of the guys there tell him that he makes them look bad because he comes in on time, he gets right to work, he does what he's supposed to, and they don't like that because it makes them look bad. I said, Brother Fred, it doesn't. You aren't making them look bad. They are making them look bad. If they were doing what they were supposed to be doing, there wouldn't be a problem. And again, we have this mentality out there in the workplace that whatever I can get away with, I'm going to get away with. Instead of, I'm here to do a job and I'm here to give 100% while I'm here in exchange for what I agreed to work for. There's a different mentality these days. Then men pleasers, working only to promote one's welfare rather than to honor the employer and the Lord, whose servants we really are. Everything we do should be as unto the Lord, not as unto man. When we go to our place of employment, we should go with the idea that we're going to do our best. Now, I was fortunate. The last 30 years that I was employed, I worked for myself. So it was like you get up in the morning and say, you lazy bum, get to work or we're not going to eat, right? So you do what you have to do. It was really nice. I had people ask me, are you going to have anybody that works under you? And I said, absolutely not. I've done that. I don't want people working for me anymore. I will do everything myself. And so I got in that habit of, if I wanted something done, I did it myself because I was the only one to do it. I carried that over when I came here, and so a lot of times something needed to be done here at the church, and I would just do it because I was so used to doing everything. And Brother Fred pointed out that I need to delegate some of that stuff and let other people participate in some of this, and so I'm trying to get better at that. Doing the will of God from the heart. This is enthusiastic service. Doing what we do because we love the Lord, not because we feel we have to do it, not because we feel coerced to do it, but because we love Him. And we're enthusiastic about being able to do anything for the Lord. That's why I said, like this morning, we need to be soul winners. We need to go out and witness to people. We need to do that not because we have to, but because we get to. God could have called the rocks to cry out, right? He could have used a donkey to cry out, but He gave us the opportunity to get on board and do part of the work that He did while He was here. Now we get to be His ambassadors in this world, and we get to do that. But we need to do it enthusiastically with the right attitude and the right motives. We should be loyal to our boss. Now I remember, and I've said this before, I remember when my grandfather worked for the same company for years and years and years and years and years. I know people that went to work for Kaiser Aluminum, Brother Dirk works there, and worked there for 30, 40 years, and then they retired. It was a place where you could go and you could work long term and have one career your whole life. One employer your whole life. Nowadays, it's not that way so much. Nowadays, it's like the employer doesn't care about the employee and the employee doesn't care about the employer. It's every man for themselves, right? It's not supposed to be that way. Men pleasers are people who are loyal when the boss is looking and then sneaking around and doing things he should not when the boss is not looking. I had some people, and you could always tell, because when we would do inspections, you could tell that the production amount went down when I wasn't standing right there. And then the production level went up when I was there. People say, well, that's because you were helping. Well, I discounted what I was doing from the numbers and said, why is it when I'm not here, standing over you, watching what you're doing, your production level goes down? But when I am here, it goes way up. there's a correlation between me being here and not being here. There should be no difference than when I'm in your presence or when I'm out of your presence. The production level should stay the same. And they said, you're just riding us hard. I said, no, I'm just expecting what you agreed to work, the job you agreed to do for the amount of money you agreed to be compensated while you're here. You need to keep the production up. And someone who is loyal does not need to be checked up on because he always does his work to the best of his ability, whether or not anyone's around watching. I ended up getting a hard time when I worked in inventory control because when the outside auditors would come, they wouldn't even check my zones because they knew that they were accurate. They said, every time we check them, we can't find anything wrong in his areas. So right before inventory, my bosses would say, we're moving you to this other zone because we don't want them checking it. I said, before they get here, I'll have it cleaned up. It's not a problem if they check it or not. It's because I, again, worked for my dad and learned that you do the best you can for what you've agreed to work for. It's pretty simple. Today, it doesn't matter. People have a different mindset. We work just as hard when we're passed over for a raise or a promotion as when we're being considered for them. I remember even when I left one company and my brother worked there, and it was my last day, and he said, meet me in the cafeteria. We're going to have ice cream in the cafeteria. I said, I can't. I don't have time. He said, it's your last day. Why do you care? I said, because I'm going to do my best up until the moment I leave here, and I'm behind on the work because I've had too many interruptions today to get everything done. And I hung up the phone with him when he said, meet me in the cafeteria, and click. So I ran to the cafeteria real quick and said, I don't have time for this. I need to get back to work. And I was called to HR, and they let me go right then. I said, but the work is piled up and you haven't given me anyone to train. And my brother kept saying, why do you care? You're leaving. Why do you care? I said, because that's how I was raised. Because that's the right thing to do. All of us, no matter if we are servants or the boss, we stand before the judge of all the world to be judged. Everything we do, we're going to stand before our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ one day. I'd like to say that I did everything I was supposed to, because my work was done as unto the Lord. We'll have no secrets from Him who knows everything. Can you imagine going there and trying to talk your way out of it? But Lord, I did everything. No, you didn't. He knows. If you find yourself in a position of serving, the very best servant you can possibly be, do it as if you're serving the Lord. That's what this is talking about. Look at chapter 6 and verse 7 of Ephesians. It says, with goodwill doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Goodwill, this means good intentions. Good intentions. The Christian servant or employee seeks the best interest of his master, the employer. This reinforces what Paul has just said. With goodwill expresses the attitude of the worker who does not need prompting or compelling. We need to do our best, regardless of how we're treated. See, the employer is going to answer to God too. Just like the employee will answer to God. We need to do our best regardless of what they're doing, because they're going to give an account too. When a Christian is where God wants him to be and is obedient to render service as to the Lord, that is the most challenging, productive, and rewarding place to be. We'll be judged by what we did in the position the Lord put us in. Everything we do in this life is as unto the Lord. So I tell people all the time, the job you got, God gave it to you. I've had people say, well, I don't like this job. Well, then ask God for another one. He can give you one. Had people that have been out of work through no fault of their own. Businesses close up and stuff and everybody's laid off. Well, God gave you the last job, He can give you the next one. And that's been my attitude all along. God will provide. We just need to be faithful. If you're a Christian, you are there because that is where God wants you to be for the moment. You really are doing the job for yourself, your boss, and for God. To be the head of a company, it is better if you start at the bottom and work yourself up, because then you know the functions of all the jobs. I thought it was funny one day when I had a boss when I was probably 19, 20 years old, and he came to me and he said, I need you to write your job description up. I said, isn't that like your job, to know what my job description is? And he said, doesn't matter if it's my job or not, I'm telling you to write your job description up. I said, do you have any idea what I do all day? He said, not a clue. Well, I found out his boss wanted to know what I did all day, and he couldn't tell him, so he needed me to write it up so he could give it to his boss. I said, be more than happy to. I mean, I'm going to be obedient, right? I'm going to do what I'm supposed to, but I just found it interesting that my own boss didn't even know what I did. I said, well, it's interesting because you give me really good reviews and nice pay increases for not knowing what I'm doing. Every day should be a day of service to the Lord. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Look at verses 10 and 11. Ecclesiastes 9:10 says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave, whither thou goest. I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all. And look at Romans 12:11. Romans 12, verse 11, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. And then look at Colossians chapter 3 and verse 23. Colossians 3:23, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. This is the work attitude of the Spirit-filled Christian. It's different than what the world would tell you. It's different than what you will experience being out there in this world, because many people, they want the paycheck, but they don't want to work. And I've heard over and over and over from people that are in positions of owning their own companies and trying to find workers, and it's getting harder and harder and harder to find people that want to work. They'll apply for the job because that's kind of a requirement of getting their unemployment, which I used to call unenjoyment, but it's a requirement, so they have to apply. Then when they're offered the job, they have to take it, but then they do everything they can not to show up and to work and all, and it's amazing. Now, that's not everybody. Keep in mind, there are people that do want to work. They do have a good work ethic. but it's getting harder and harder to find them. And then Ephesians 6:8 says, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. The basis for the servant's good intention, of verse 7, toward his master, is his being recompensed by the Lord, both in this life and in the one to come, the same good as he has performed in his servant duties. The rewards for every job well done is given in heaven. The boss will be judged, and so will the servant, as I mentioned earlier. Each person must give an account unto God. Each person will stand before God and be judged by the just judge. It's not like here on earth where people have been wrongly accused and convicted of crimes they never committed. In heaven, there will be nobody convicted of anything they didn't do because Jesus knows it all. Those who have more are judged more harshly than those who have less to do with. Lay up your treasures in heaven. Then God credits and rewards are always dependable and always appropriate. God knows exactly what's going on, and he rewards us accordingly. An employer may not appreciate or even be aware of the good work done, perhaps because he is indifferent or because someone else takes credit for what is done, but God knows and God rewards. Again, I think back in my working career. I had a boss one time, and he called me on the carpet for a quick conversation with somebody in the front office, and I worked in the warehouse. And I was up there for a brief 2 minutes, probably, on a subject that wasn't related to work. And he called me in his office when I got back in the warehouse, and he said, you need to keep your personal conversations on your time. And I said, you have no idea what I do, do you? He said, what are you talking about? I said, I come in at least a half an hour to an hour early every day and don't clock in until regular time, but I'm working the whole time. I don't take either of the 15-minute breaks. I eat lunch with my wife, who gets a half hour, I get an hour, and I'm back to work again, not charging the company for that. And then she works later than I do. We ride together, so I stay later and still work, but don't charge the company for it. And I get called on the carpet for a two-minute conversation that wasn't related to work in the middle of a day when I hadn't taken even a break anyway. And I said, we can do it your way. I said, I don't have to come in early. I don't have to stay late. I don't have to work half my lunch. I don't have to work through my breaks. We can do it your way if you want. And he said, no, I had no idea you did all that. I said, yeah, I do all that. He said, never mind. See, sometimes they have no idea what we're doing. I didn't make a big deal of it until he made a big deal of a two-minute conversation. It shouldn't have been an issue from my standpoint, but he had no idea. Once he became aware of it, he had no problem with it. But he didn't find out before he jumped me about it. He just automatically assumed I was goofing off. Well, I said, no, that's the rest of your crew. Do all of that. I'm here to work. My idea was God knows. God knows the heart. He knows the intents. He knows everything about us. He will take care of it. I wasn't concerned. No good thing done in his name and for his glory can pass his notice or fail to receive his blessing. Then treat those under your authority as Christ would. Without threatening, remembering that you too will be judged by one in authority over you. Ephesians 6:9 says, and ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. It says, ye masters, do the same things unto them. There should be a mutual honor and respect. from Christian employers and to employees based on their common allegiance to the Lord. I have to say, when you get to work for someone who knows the Lord, it's a whole different ballgame. I worked for some pretty ungodly people at times. And when I got to work with people that knew the Lord, it was a total game changer. I said, much nicer working with people that knew the Lord and were trying to please Him instead of people who didn't and didn't care. A Christian employer's relationship to his employees should have the same motivation and goal as a Christian worker's relationship to his employer, the desire to obey and please the Lord. An employer is to use his authority as to the Lord, just as workers are to submit to the authority as to the Lord. That is an expression of their mutual submission and being subject to one another in the fear of Christ. Again, if you look at Ephesians 5:21, it says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Forbearing, threatening. The Spirit-filled boss uses his authority and power with justice and grace, never putting people under threats, never abusive or inconsiderate. He realizes that he has a heavenly master who is impartial. You look at Acts 10:34. Acts 10:34, it says, then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. Romans chapter 2 and verse 11 says, for there is no respect of persons with God. And James 2:9 says, but if you have respect to persons, you commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. The Spirit-filled employer is careful to give up threatening. This term used suggests the idea of loosening up or releasing. He uses his authority and power as little as possible and does not throw his weight around or lord it over those under him. He is never abusive or inconsiderate. Earthly masters are to behave in a reciprocal manner towards their slaves with respect, sincerity, and careful concern. For earthly masters have a heavenly master who will judge them without partiality. We have to realize whether you have people working under you or you have someone over you, either way you need to be respectful. I've seen people get called on the carpet in front of the whole group working together, and it should not be done that way. If somebody's going to get in trouble, they should be done one-on-one, take them to the office and say what you have to say. It shouldn't be to shame them in front of everybody they work with. Just like if you disagree with something the boss is doing, you need to take them aside and voice your concern in a considerate way. I know years ago I voiced some concerns and people went into the meeting and told the boss that they were there to, basically the terminology they used was different, but whine and complain. And I said, no, we're here to voice some concerns and give you some solutions and see if we can work this out together to find a solution that's mutually acceptable amongst everybody. And they all thought, well, who are you? I said, I'm someone that understands the process. We need to come to a consensus here, but whining and complaining is not going to get us anywhere. Raising a concern with some suggestions on how to solve the problem is going to be a lot better in getting the results that we want than to going in and just whining and complaining. See, it's all in how we approach things. He realizes that his own authority through God-given, though God-given, is strictly functional and temporary. He knows that he and his workers alike are under the same supreme authority of God, and that their master and his is not on earth but in heaven. And let me just say, my dad taught me something very good when I was younger, and that was, be careful who you step on your way up the ladder, because you might pass them on your way back down. Need to be careful. The faithful Christian employer knows that he is a fellow servant of Jesus Christ with his employees and is accountable to the same master. Everyone has someone over them. Someone who is in charge on the earth will have to answer to his boss in heaven. We'll receive the same type of treatment that we have treated others with. We are all servants of Christ. Kindness to servants gets much more work done than harsh treatment. And that is true, very much true. The master will have to give an account to Jesus, the same as the servant. And again, God is no respecter of persons. Use what God has given you to the best of your ability and be kind to others around you in the process, and great will be your reward in heaven. We have to decide, how do we want this to go here on earth, and how do we want the rewards to go in heaven? My thing is, I always answer to God. Whether I pastor this church, or I sold real estate for years, or I worked in a warehouse, no matter what I did, I knew I always answered to God for it. So I always tried to do my best, because I wanted it to be a good reflection on my Savior, not a bad reflection on my Savior. All right, we're out of time, so let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you, and we pray, Father, that those of us who have employees under us, as well as those that are employees with bosses over us, I pray, Father, that we are following your word, that we are serving with a good attitude, being respectful and considerate of others, regardless if they work under us or if they're over us, no matter how we're treated, we're admonished to treat people as our Lord and Savior would treat them. So I pray, Father, that as we go to our places of employment, that we would keep that in mind. I also pray, Father, as always, if there's someone in our midst who's never accepted Christ as Savior, I pray tonight would be the night. For those of us who have, Father, I pray that we are giving it our all, and that we're understanding that we are going to answer to you one day. We may not answer right away, but one day we will stand before you and give an account. So we thank you for this time of invitation, and will not fail to give you all the praise, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.